going to stay with a widow woman, and she was supposed to provide and take care of him, and all she had was a little bit of grain and a little bit of oil, and she told him that, you know, see, we're just getting ready to bake this up, and she and her son were going to eat it and die because they had nothing left, nothing coming in. So the Lord told him that she was going to take care and going to provide for him. So anyway, we read about how it worked out just as exactly as the Lord had said. And too many times I read in books that said predicted. And God doesn't predict things. He causes things. We have now that verse 16, 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 16, and the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord which he spake by Elijah. So all that time, however long he stayed with her, and it doesn't say exactly how long, you know, we know it was a good while. Because coming up, there's going to be a time when Elijah's going to be dealing with the king, and that's, I think, about 3 years. So I don't know how long he actually stayed there with the widow woman and her son, but anyway, that whole time, the meal, barrel of meal wasted not, and they didn't run out of meal, and they didn't run out of oil. So God provides for his children, and sometimes, as in the case of the widow woman here, he uses others for his purpose to do that. Now, I believe that widow woman got a blessing out of that, so she shared her last, I mean, all she had was Elijah's word, you know, he said, go fix me a little bit first. And then you and your son eat. And that's what she did. Anyway, we need to follow God's word. Whatever our senses tell us, whatever our mind tells us, God comes first. Anyway, they had been there for a while, verse 17, and it came to pass after these things that the son of the woman, the mistress of the house, fell sick, and his sickness was so sore there was no breath left in him. In other words, he died. So, you wonder about things. We have how we think things ought to be. A lot of times, you know, we think, well, God should do stuff this way. God doesn't do things after what we think. He does things according to his purpose. Anyway, the son fell sick. And his sickness was so sore that there was no breath left in him. In other words, he died. So the Lord had seen to be blessing this house. And so what happens in verse 18? And she said unto Elijah, what have I to do with thee, O thou man of God? I mean, she's really lamenting here that she had even met him. And isn't that kind of like what we do? You remember? Go back, go back up to, verse 12, where she is explaining to Elijah why she can't feed him. Verse 12, and she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal and a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse, and behold, I am gathering two sticks, that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. She's forgetting what the Lord brought her out of. She's forgetting what the man of God, the blessing that the man of God brought with him. Yeah, she had to take care of him. That was the Lord's command. But she received a blessing too. And she's forgetting this. Sometimes we forget too. I mean, we've been praying that the Lord would give our pastor a better job, and he has. Are we still praying? Are we praying, thank you for the job, for one thing? And we need to be praying, especially that the church might be able to support him full time. And if he can get him a better job, surely he can make our church able to support him. We have in the past, not with him, with our former pastor, and Lord willing, that's what's going to happen again. But that's not in my purview. That's up to the Lord. Maybe he's going to have him work outside the church, but that just shows how much he wants to be here, I think. You know, because I don't think there are quite a few preachers I don't think would do what he did. He left a good paying job. Well, I don't know how good, but, you know, reasonably good paying job anyway. And he came here without even having a job. And I don't know. We have really received a blessing like this widow woman did. Elijah came to her and said, "You're supposed to take care of me. We're supposed to take care of him and his family. Let's not forget that." But she says unto Elijah, "What have I to do with thee, O thou man of God?" I mean, what good did it do me to have you here? Well, first of all, we don't know how long a period of time has gone on. And she was getting ready to feed her last meal to her and her son and die. And we know that, back in verse 14, "For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth." So it had been a long time. Verse 15, "And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah." Now that's where it comes on us. We need to do what the Lord says. "And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days." So she's forgetting. She's forgetting. The Lord sent Elijah there to be taken care of. But also, in return, she received a blessing. Her and her son would have been dead in a matter of days, probably after this, after they ate the last meal. But it says they ate many days out of what we would consider an empty barrel and an empty cruse. Back in verse 18, "And she said unto Elijah, What have I to do with thee, O thou man of God? Art thou come unto me to call my sin to remembrance and to slay my son?" In other words, are you come to remind me of my past sins, things I have done? And I don't know what her sins were. It doesn't say. We've all got sins. We have past sins. We have sins that we commit probably on a daily basis of some kind or another. And we have sins that we have yet to commit. Our goal should be to be perfectly sinless, but that's not going to happen. Not till we get to be with the Lord. But she says, "Art thou come unto me to call my sins to remembrance? Are you come to judge me? Are you come to punish me?" And I guarantee if you were going to punish somebody, the worst thing you could do would be to slay their son, any child, a member of their family, whatever. And she is basically forgotten. Yeah, her son was a gift brought back to her by Elijah coming, according to the word of the Lord, to be cared for by the widow woman. So God uses both sides of this. She's taking care of Elijah, and Elijah being there is taking care of her and her son. But what does Elijah do? Does he get mad and say, "Well, you know, you ate well for many days, according to Scripture, many days, And now all of a sudden you don't like me because your son's sick. Now he said in verse 19, he said unto her, give me thy son. Now, I don't know how people react to things like that. If I had a child that died and the person that I am at the current time accusing of causing his death says, give me your son. I don't know what my thoughts are going to be on that. But apparently the Lord intervened. Give me thy son. And he took him out of her bosom. I believe she was cradling in her arms. And carried him up into a loft where he abode. And laid him upon his own bed. Now, I don't know whether it was important for him to be out of her presence or not. But sometimes when we go to pray, and we go to pray about something, I hesitate to use the word serious, but because every prayer is serious. Everything. It doesn't matter how minuscule the thing is. It's serious. If it's enough to take before the Lord, and anything is enough to take before the Lord, it's serious. But he wanted to be alone. We're instructed to go into our closet and pray. Get apart from people where nothing can distract us. And he takes the boy's body and he takes it up into his room. Doesn't say he shut the door, but I say he did. Laid him on his bed, his own bed. And he goes about to do what the Lord would have him to do. Verse 20, and he cried unto the Lord, and said, O Lord my God, hast thou also brought evil upon the widow with whom I sojourn by slaying her son? Now there have been things that have gone on. That you would say, well, you know, Elijah had to flee for his life because of the drought that he told was coming. He didn't cause the drought. He just told them it was coming. The Lord caused the drought. And so, first of all, he was by a brook and was fed by the birds. And then the brook dried up because there was a drought. And so the Lord said, well, you go see this widow woman and she'll take care of you. Only thing is, the widow woman didn't have anything to take care of him with. But Elijah did it anyway. And after a while, I think it starts to seem to Elijah like everything is out against him. But the Lord, if the Lord is not against you, if the Lord be for you, who can be against you? Nobody. And he cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord my God, hast thou also brought evil upon the widow woman, widow with whom I sojourn by slaying her son? Is she also, I mean, she's receiving a blessing, but is she also receiving torment too? I mean, I'm sure Elijah would rather be out serving the Lord under better circumstances, but this is where the Lord wanted him to be. And I think that perhaps this was to show God showing his power. We see this many times throughout the scriptures, how the Lord allows things to happen to show his power. Now, God doesn't need to show his power for himself. He needs us to see his power. Now, we don't see miracles the type of like this nowadays. Those are past. But any time that the Lord reveals himself to someone and they become a child of God, that's a miracle. That's the biggest miracle in all of creation. How can somebody that's dead become a living child of God? Anyway, Verse 21, and he stretched himself upon the child three times and cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord my God, I pray thee that this child's soul come into him again. Now, we're going to spend a good portion of what time we've got left, and it's not much, but verse 21 again, he stretched himself upon the child three times and cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord my God, I pray thee, let this child's soul come into him again. He's trying to bring him back from the dead. That just don't happen, does it? Turn to 2 Kings chapter 4. And we're going to read verses 32 through 35. Now, this is a different prophet. This is Elisha, not Elijah, Elisha. Verse 32, and when Elisha was come into the house, behold, the child was dead and laid upon his bed. In this instance, the child was already dead. He went in, therefore, and shut the door upon them twain, and prayed unto the Lord. Again, went into the room and shut the door, separate, away from the other people. Nothing to distract him. And he went up and lay upon the child. Now, this is the last time we're going to read about this particular thing. He went up and lay upon the child and put his mouth upon his mouth and his eyes upon his eyes and his hands upon his hands. And he stretched himself upon the child, and the flesh of the child waxed warm. Then he returned and walked in the house to and fro, and went up and stretched himself upon him. And the child sneezed seven times, and the child opened his eyes. So, this is very similar to what Elijah did. He laid upon the child. And in this case, Elisha laid upon the child, face to face, eye to eye, mouth to mouth, hand to hand, and prayed to the Lord. Turn to Acts chapter 20. I'm sure you know where we're going with this one. And I know I'm not making fun of somebody preaching long. Acts chapter 20, verses 7 through 10. Acts chapter 20, 7 through 10. And upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow, and continued his speech until midnight. So, see, Brother McCool doesn't really preach that long. We almost always get home before midnight, don't we? Okay? Anyway, and there were many lights in the upper chamber where they were gathered together, and there sat in a window a certain young man named Eutychus, being fallen into a deep sleep. So, not only can't he preach long, he can't say anything about us if we fall asleep, right? And as Paul was long preaching, he sunk down with sleep. This is Eutychus, sunk down with sleep, and fell down from the third loft. He was way up there. And was taken up dead. So there's a price to pay, too, for when you fall asleep. And I'm not sure if Brother McCool would come fall on you and pray you back to life or not. I'm guessing not, just to be honest about it. Anyway, in verse 10, and Paul went down and fell on him and embracing him said, trouble not yourself, for his life is in him. Again, Paul laid on top of him. And the child's life came back into him. So there's kind of a pattern here. This is how things are done. Now, if you go through the New Testament about when Jesus revived people from the dead, he doesn't have to lay on top of them. He doesn't have to do that. Anyway, I'm not sure where I was going with that, but there's a difference there. You know, he doesn't have to seek permission or anything like that. Where Elijah, he did. He was asking the Lord to let the child's life return to him. Elisha, same thing. Paul, same thing. Anyway, back in verse 21 of 1 Kings, chapter 17, and he stretched himself upon the child three times and cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord my God, I pray thee, let this child's soul come into him again. And the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came into him again, and he revived. Now, we don't see things like that anymore. Those types of miracles have basically ceased. There are still miracles happening. I mentioned one a little while ago about a person being saved. There are times when people go into the hospital and they don't have much hope of coming out and make a full recovery, or at least, you know, a reasonable recovery, one that wasn't expected. And I'm sure the doctors think that their abilities is what's caused this, but I think a lot of times it's somebody in a closet somewhere praying for them. You know, praying that the Lord would guide the doctor's hands, that the Lord would allow the spirit to stay in whoever it is. But we need to seek the Lord's will first. We don't see that, again, I mentioned we don't see that today, but 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 8 through 10. This is talking about love in one respect, and in another respect is talking about miracles and things that happen supernaturally. I'm going to say spiritually rather than supernaturally, because that's how these things come to pass. Anyway, verse 8, charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. So these supernatural, super spiritual miracles that happened back in the Old Testament, and to a lesser degree in the New Testament, these have basically quit happening. It don't happen anymore. Why? Because when that which is perfect is come, and we have that which is perfect. Not perfect in every respect, but it's complete. God's Word. We have that. We don't need miracles. We have the Holy Spirit that indwells us. He is the witness that's in us. He is the one that guides us, that we might live a life before the Lord that's pleasing to Him. And that we can be profitable servants. Back in 1 Kings 17, verse 23, and Elijah took the child